This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
I don't believe in failure. I think you either win or you learn. Mm-hmm. So to me, a failure implies an end set date, like something is over. Yep. Like nothing to me is over. Like it's just the tomorrow's the next day. And if you learn today, it's a continuation of before. So to me, there is no failures. It's to me, it's everything I've done, I've learned from it. And for me, that's not a fail. Like I don't even... I love the question because I almost don't even understand it. To me, it's like there is no failures if you learn, and I try to learn from every single thing I do.
What confidence is has nothing to do with winning or the leaderboard. What confidence is knowing that you giving your best effort is enough.
How you doing, Ben?
I'm doing great, Patrick.
Good. Slightly different today. Some people may already have this by the time we release this. Some people may have no idea what this is, but Tim Ferriss, author, very prominent podcaster, all around smart dude, just came out with a new book called Tribe of Mentors. It's based on a lot of stuff that he does in his podcast, which if folks haven't listened to that, is definitely worth doing. And what the book is a series of 11 questions that he sort of refined throughout the course of like interviewing 300 of the top performers in any number of fields. And the book is, he sent out those 11 questions to, I think he said like 150 people, some of which have been on his podcast, many of which haven't, including just for fun, Catherine, Matt Fraser, and Annie Thor's daughter are all in the books, which is cool to
Super
see.
Super high achievers.
Yeah.
They deserve to be there.
So I thought it'd be fun to just like real rapid fire, because that's kind of what he calls these questions is rapid fire. Just ask you the 11 questions and just kind of see where that goes.
Cool.
So let's I thought we'd do that. Cool?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to go in order. And for those interested in the book, he actually explains why the order is important. In terms of how the order in which they're asked, but not super important for our purposes here. So number one, first question is, what is the book or books you've given most as a gift and why, or what are one to three books that have greatly influenced your life?
Okay. So I'll go with the books that have greatly influenced my life. I never used to read when I was a kid. For whatever reason, when I started my own business, it became something that I just fell in love with. Yeah. And the books that really shaped my business and the way I coached were, because they all happened at the same time, I read these almost back to back to back, were Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie, Good to Great, Jim Collins, and How Champions Think by Bob Rutella.
Love it. Second question, what purchase of $100 or less has most positively impacted your life in the last 6 months or in recent memory? And specifics are great.
Okay. I knew you were going to ask this question, and this is the one that stumped me actually. I don't buy things.
Yeah.
Like literally I don't buy things. So I had to like, I literally this morning went through my bank account statements to see what I bought.
That's awesome.
The thing I could find that I purchased was Global Entry.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So that's
just like easier travel. Right?
Easier travel. I came back from Europe. So coming through the US customs, instead of waiting in a line for 45 minutes an hour, wait in line for maybe like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Impacted me.
Works. Yeah. That's it. Number three, how has a failure or apparent failure set you up for later success? Do you have a favorite failure?
Okay. I love this question because I don't believe in failure. I think you either win or you learn. Mm-hmm. So to me, a failure implies an end set date, like something is over.
Yep.
Like nothing to me is over. Like it's just the tomorrow's the next day. And if you learn today, it's a continuation of before. So to me, there is no failures. It's to me, it's everything I've done, I've learned from it. And for me, that's not a fail. Like I don't even, I love the question because I almost don't even understand it. To me, it's like there is no failures if you learn, and I try to learn from every single thing I do. So I don't have one. At the end of my life, when I look back at the whole thing, maybe there will be something. But right now, I'm continuing to learn from everything I do. So I don't understand failure.
Gotcha. Number four, if you could have one gigantic billboard anywhere with anything on it, metaphorically speaking, getting a message out to millions or billions, what would it say and why? It could be a few words or a paragraph.
Relax. Is this going to matter in 5 years? Mm-hmm. I think people lose perspective on these tiny little minutiae, things that cause really big emotional responses, things that are not paramount to the overall success or happiness or fulfillment of their lives. They get so carried away, particularly if it's a billboard, it's on a highway and people like road rage and everything else, or late to a meeting or their kids in the backseat fighting, like relax, like everything's going to be okay. This is not going to, you're not even remember this in 5 years unless you go off the rails and something catastrophic happens. So relax. Is this going to matter in 5 years?
Love that. Number five, what is one of the best or most worthwhile investments you've ever made? Could be an investment of money, time, energy, et cetera.
So for energy, I'll say reading. That changed who I was as a person philosophically, like what I stood for, who I was. So reading, but then in terms of time and money and effort as well, I would say getting my CrossFit level one trainer certificate way back in 2006. Essentially changed my life.
Yeah, really cool. Number six, what is an unusual habit or an absurd thing that you love? And actually, I'm really curious about this one because I don't know what absurd thing you love.
You know what's an absurd thing that I love that I hate to admit to? Caffeine.
Okay, you're gonna have to walk me through that.
I just love caffeine. I'm a person.
Don't drink coffee.
I don't drink coffee, so that's what I mean. It's like I shouldn't love it because I don't even drink coffee, and I don't have caffeine a lot. Yep. But when I do, it's like it's a drug, and I'm into it. Like I want more. You know, it's like it's an absurd thing that like I don't even drink coffee, so how should I even like it? But like it's a thing that like, I don't know what, I mean, literally like when I'm on it, I want more of it. Yeah. And I know if you get too much of it, it has opposite effects.
Yeah.
So I try to like play with that threshold.
So that every time you get it, like it.
Yeah. And I mean, realistically, I mean, I maybe have half of a cup of coffee's worth of caffeine every day.
Yeah. Do the Killcliffs have caffeine?
No, they're minimal. They have like 15 grams or something like that, or 15, whatever they measure it in. But like a cup of coffee has 220 milligrams. You know, a Red Bull has whatever it is, 250. And, so I maybe have 100. I do it in like a little pre-workout shake in my BCAAs.
Oh, interesting.
And it's just like, I love it.
So funny. I would not have guessed. Okay. Number seven, in the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
Okay, and this is something we've talked a fair amount about off of this kind of show. We've talked a little bit about on the show, but the weighing and measuring and accountability of doing things that are meaningful to my life. Mm-hmm. And that's a really broad statement for, I've created a system for myself that every morning I check in to make sure that every day I'm living the life and doing the important things that I should be doing. So I figured out my core values. What are the roles and responsibilities in my life? Who do I want to be? What does that look like in a daily actionable steps? And I hold myself accountable to that. That practice is really powerful. And I talked about this yesterday, is as an experiment, I did not do it for the month of November. And I didn't want to say I fell apart because I didn't, but my life was not nearly as dialed as it was. Like there's things like, I know that my relationship with my parents is really important. So on my daily tracker, it's call my parents twice a week, call my mom twice a week, call my dad twice a week. When I'm not checking those little boxes and keep myself accountable, that slid way off. Yeah. It's just crazy how you get that dopamine response. I get that dopamine response of like checking off the box. I feel good. I'm going to do this. I don't want to look at an empty box. Mm. And so that practice, that habit, that practice, that ritual has really significantly changed my life for the better in the recent past.
Cool. Number eight, what advice would you give to a smart, driven college student about to enter the real world? What advice should they ignore?
The advice I would give is excellence is hard to ignore. It's hard to keep excellence quiet. whatever job you have, if you're cleaning toilets, if you're filing, if you're doing data administration, if you're shoveling a driveway, whatever you're doing, do it phenomenally well. And if you do it phenomenally well, it doesn't matter what the task is, every task you do, go way above and beyond. Do it before it's expected. Go above and beyond what's expected with everything. And you cannot be ignored. When people think about who's the next person they should pull up the chain, you're going to be at the top of that list. That's one I would definitely give, is like, just kill it. Just go after it with everything you have, no matter what the task is. What I would ignore is, what's your five-year plan? Mm-hmm. I just think that five-year plan thing, when you're coming out of college, is no one knows what they want to do in 5 years, yeah. Let alone who knows what they're going to be in 5 years. Don't worry about that. Kill it today and let the opportunities come to you. And if you do it, you're going to have so many opportunities. If you have a five-year plan and you have blinders on at that age, there's a time in your life that you need that, 100%. When you're coming out of college is not that time.
Yeah, totally agree with that. Number nine, what are bad recommendations you hear in your profession or area of expertise?
Okay, this isn't a recommendation as much as it is something that I see people doing, which is judging potential. Mm. And it's a human nature thing where someone walks in the door and you either say, like, you know, the first day they snatch 225, you're like, oh my gosh, this kid's going to regionals. And another person walks in and they have a really tough time with the first workout and you're like, they're not coming back tomorrow.
Yeah.
And 80% of the time, you're wrong on both accounts.
Yeah.
We constantly are judging potential, seeing like what people could be capable of, and we're wrong all the time. We don't know what our own potential is. Why are we even judging other people's? Let's give them everything we have and let them surprise us with what they can accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Number 10, in the last 5 years, what have you become better at saying no to? Distractions, invitations, et cetera. What new realizations and or approaches helped? Any other tips? I know this is something that you've been thinking a lot about.
Yeah, we've talked about this. Everything from like removing the East Coast Championships, the ECC yep. event from our lives. Portfolio, lives, whatever it is, our platform.
Yep.
To me, saying no to recently a fair amount of speaking. You know, I've had some opportunities because of things like the podcast. I've had some opportunities for speaking engagements. Yep. Said no to some of those. People want me to write another book. I'm saying no to that. Running competitions, saying no to that. Some other business opportunities, saying no to those, and trying to say no to every single meeting that I possibly can to focus on, and this is where the recommendation would come in, the essential things in my life. And I've most recently came to light from a book that you recommended me, which is by Greg McKeown called Essentialism. And it's do that which is essential to your life and eliminate all else and watch yourself grow.
Yeah.
So really highly recommend that book. It's probably one of the more recent ones that has changed my focus on a lot of totally things. That will be in my top 10 list.
Yeah, totally agree. And maybe just 1 second, like, what are those essential things? What are the things that you're saying no to? What is it so that you can put in place?
Yeah, so I'm really trying to focus on the things that are most important in my life, which is obviously my family first and foremost, CrossFit New England, the business and the members being second, and coaching my elite athletes, Katrin, Matt, Cole, Brooke, and making sure that I'm giving everything to those guys that I possibly can.
Cool. Awesome. Last question. When you feel overwhelmed or unfocused or have lost your focus temporarily, what do you do? If helpful, what questions do you ask yourself?
Okay. So, I rarely am unfocused. But overwhelmed is something that I think happens to me from time to time. I'll be like, there'll be 3 day periods where I'm just running from meeting to meeting and I get like my busy life and I will get overwhelmed. And the thing that I like to fall back upon is I remind myself, again, the perspective thing, like, this is not that bad, right? Like, I'm reading A Man's Search for Meaning right now, Viktor mm-hmm. Frankl. Holy crap. Like nothing I am ever going to experience in my life is bad compared to that.
Yeah.
It's for those that don't know, it's about the psychologist that experienced Auschwitz and a concentration camp in World War II. And it's his experience. And basically, how do you draw meaning out of that hellhole? Yeah.
For whatever the like the three or four most popular books answering that original question in this book is Man's Search for Meaning.
Yeah. So the biggest thing I do when I'm overwhelmed is I put things in perspective and I remind myself, holy crap, I am so lucky and man, do I love what I do. Yeah. And once I bring that kind of perspective and clarity and realization that like, okay, so I'm going to have this difficult phone conversation with somebody. That's going to be tough. Yeah. I have to talk to this member who's having an issue. I have to, you know, go to these six meetings, which I'm not very excited about. Like, it's still the best way I could possibly ever spend my day making a living. So put things in perspective a little bit and it really quickly kind of grounds me.
Love that. All right. Those are the 11 questions. Tribe of Mentors, great book. Thanks to Tim Ferriss for writing it. And we'll see everybody next time.
Thanks.